1 Corinthians chapter 11. Pastor Dennis took his wife Donna away to celebrate her birthday. And so, you know, they've had a lot go on in the family and spend some time away with Donna. They got to spend a little time together, but it was in a hospital room. And so hospital room, hotel room, totally different. So they're enjoying a little bit of time. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll go ahead and pick up in verse 17 so we can get a little understanding, and then we'll take a moment and pray. In giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Oh, Jesus, come for your church. Amen. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood or the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we want to come before you as your people and just say thank you. Thank you that you've brought us here. Thank you that not only have you provided this place for us to gather, but God, you've provided your son that we can gather as people that are forgiven, that we are people with a great hope and a great future. Lord, we also thank you that we have your word in our language, that God, we can own the scriptures, that we can read the scriptures. I think of the privilege it is just tonight as Paul exhorted Timothy to read the scriptures and to teach the scriptures, that God, that is going on and taking place still to this day, thousands of years later at Calvary Chapel, the High Desert. And so we thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way for us to be right with you, to have our sins forgiven, and to be a part of an everlasting family. And so we ask now, as we, as your people, have gathered in here and we have sung your praise and we have read your word, and now we look to an understanding by your Spirit of what it means, and we, in a moment, partake of this meal. Lord, may you be glorified and honored in everything that we do. May we, Lord, be honest before you, be honest with one another, as we celebrate what Christ has done. And so work in our midst, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. In my marriage to Jackie, we have a very interesting combination between the two of us. I'm one of those guys that if I really like something, if there's like a meal I really like, I have no problem eating it again and again and again, and eating it as often as possible until I'm absolutely sick of it. It's just, it's what I am. I'm kind of a creature of habit. If I find something that she makes that is delicious, she wants to know, what do you want? That same thing you made last week. It was amazing. It was great. On the other end, my wife, she has this quality that when it comes to making food for somebody or for the family or for a group of people, she really likes to make sure we have enough. You know, it's like a family of six, and it's like, wow, there's 15 pounds of potatoes on the stove kind of thing. Like, she does not want anybody to go hungry, anybody to go without, and so she will do her best to make sure that there is more than enough, that everybody in the family, they can have firsts, seconds, thirds, they could take to their room a doggy bag. I mean, she wants to make sure we're prepared. And so it's like this combination, you know, because she will prepare and she will make enough for everybody and then some. But on the same aspect, I'm like, oh, I could probably eat this for like the next four dinners and I'm good. And so there's these moments where we have these meals where we will sit down and I'll look at the meal and I'll go, ah, we had this last week. Yes. And I'll go, oh, and I'm going to have it tonight. Yes. And judging by the amount, I am going to have it for lunch tomorrow. Right? It's this meal that in that moment, it's kind of like a past, a present, and a future. Right? It all comes together in that meal. It's like, whoa, okay, that's a past, a present, a future. Maybe you've had an experience like that. You come from a family that, you know, prepares and you're totally fine with kind of eating the same thing. Maybe you go out to eat and there, those times you go out to eat, you think of, oh, I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get what I got last time. And you're going to get it because it tasted so good last time, but also it was such a large amount of food. You had a fantastic lunch the next day. Right, it was a meal that reminded you of your past, you partook of it in your present, and then you knew it was a meal that was going to be in your future. Do you know that as we come to this section of Scripture, Paul lets us know that the Lord's Supper is like that. It's a meal that has to do with past, present, and future. There is something about it when you come in and you see the elements out, you're kind of going, oh, we're going to do communion again. If you're, you know, kind of new to the body of Christ, you're here and you're going, oh, okay, we're going to get that dry cracker and that juice. All right, it's that night tonight, and it's something that happens often. There's even in those moments when we read sections of Scripture like that, it just, you know, that past application, you think of, okay, I know all about this. Yes, the bread, Christ's body, the juice, his blood. And there's something that has become familiar to you. It shouldn't become mundane, but you should be well acquainted with it. That is what we come to here this evening. We come to Paul, who's writing to a church in Corinth, a rather unique church. They had some pretty big issues that come up throughout his writings in 1 and 2 Corinthians. They kind of lost their way. They weren't all, you know, really fit in walking with the Lord, though they were a gifted people, and Paul had to kind of correct them. He even comes here and corrects them because they have some problems. It's like people are showing up to church and they're diving in and eating and taking care of themselves, and they're leaving some of the church people hungry and untaken care of. And so it'd be kind of like you came in here this evening and there was a group of people sitting on the communion table and they're just eating the crackers. Pretty fair question of like, why would you want to eat fistfuls of those matzo crackers? But hey, everybody's got their thing. And they're drinking all of the juice, and then it comes time for us to have communion, and we open it up, and it's like, whoa, there's nothing left, but there's one dude that's got grape juice stains all down the front, and he's doing that I'm full moan, you know, oh, oh, and some of you are like, man, I would do anything for a little cracker right now, just a little one, just a little one. That's what they were doing in Corinth. And Paul comes to the church, and he lets them know, hey, you have some issues among you. There's some things that aren't right, and I'm going to let you know, as you understand the way in which you're caring for each other and gathering is not right, I'm going to give you an example of what it looks like when it is right. And he uses the example of Jesus's last meal. He uses the example of when Christ has his final meal with his disciples before he's to go to the cross. If you look at it in verse 23, you see that it's the same night in which he was betrayed. In other words, you have in the first little part in verse 17 and 18, you have the church that's gathering and they're divided. They're not caring for one another. They come together to have a meal as a church and some are full and others are hungry. And then he contrasts it to Jesus. On the night that he was to be betrayed, he serves his disciples. It's a radical difference. Communion reminds us, as we're here tonight, it reminds us of the selfless act of God for you and I. His selflessness in which Christ gave himself for us. It kind of starts out tonight as we compare between Corinth and them living for themselves or your own life and what you may be living. And we see the example of Jesus in this final moment in which you see this in Jesus the night before he was betrayed, instituting the Last Supper. It's this moment that Jesus drives all of our attention in this final meal to the cross. Not only to the cross, but unites the community that is united out of the cross. We are all here tonight because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. That's what we're here for. And communion reminds us of that. It's instantly, okay, Jesus died for me, and I'm a part of this church family that's worldwide and eternal because of what Jesus has done. It does something else for us when he compares it between the two, Corinth and some hungry and others drunk and full because of the selfishness and the divisions among you. It lets you know that when you come to church and we partake in communion, a meal that you will see as a past, present, and future meal, if we gather with a selfish attitude, we're going to be shocked at this meal. If we come in with a selfish attitude that says, I'm going to get mine, we are going to be shocked by the life of Christ where you see in this meal, he says, I'm going to give mine. It's kind of this sobering moment of going, okay, I'm here. This meal is a meal that is to remind me of what Jesus has done, but also where I'm at with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, but also where am I at with Jesus? And so look at our text here, and we kind of see a few things about this meal. This meal is a meal that reminds us of our past. It has a present application, and it has a future application. You see that in the section, this past application, Jesus calls us to partake in communion, the bread and the juice, in remembrance of me, the text says. Twice, if you look at it in verse 24 and 25, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We have here in the meal a past reminder. We look back to the past. We remember what Christ has done. Right now, we're in this moment where we should reflect back in this moment of preparing for communion and thinking about it. We should be reminded of what Christ did for each and every one of us. Do this in remembrance of me, that his body was broken. It's interesting in the order in which this is put. You find that the bread is given and broken, and then there is the cup. It's even a reminder. Look back to the past. You understand that even in that bread being first, it's that reminder that God became man. In order for Jesus to be broken, Jesus had to leave heaven and take the form of man. That God became flesh and dwelt among us, and that we beheld his glory. We saw his fullness and his truth. We saw all of God in human form in Jesus. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We are reminded of the truth that Christ left heaven and he became man. We are reminded that Jesus lived on this earth, but notice that the bread it's broken. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We look back to the past work of the cross, where it proclaims the sacrifice and the work of Jesus, that Jesus, having known no sin, living a perfect life, was broken for you and me. You look back to the past, think about it for a minute. There's something radical that collides here. A lot of you can look back on your past and you see a lot of brokenness. It's real. You see moments where you failed. You see moments where you came up short. Maybe even the very fact that you're here tonight and you weathered the cold was because your past was haunting you. You're broken. Look at this. Jesus, in all of his fullness, in all of his wholeness, and all of his goodness, was broken for your brokenness. We're reminded in this meal that, wait, I may have a broken past, but I have a Savior that was broken for me. I have a Savior that left heaven, took on flesh, and has come. And here, as Jesus wants us to do this in remembrance of him, we've got to be reminded of what Jesus did, how he was broken for you and me. You may think of your broken past and your shortcomings and your failures, but look at this moment at the cross. Jesus is broken. He suffers. A reminder of the past work of the cross. Jesus on the cross, he thirsted. Not just a physical thirst, but surely a spiritual thirst, that thirst for righteousness because he bore our sins upon the cross. This radical maneuver that takes place where Jesus in all of his righteousness, he gives it to us and he takes all of our unrighteousness upon him. We look at the cross and we see abandonment. We see where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, we partake of this meal and we realize, wait a minute, he was broken. He was forsaken. He was abandoned. He was broken, but yet on the flip side, do this in remembrance of me. He was broken for me. He takes me from being abandoned, from thirsting for righteousness and restores me. You find the cross, he is broken as he hangs in darkness. Don't forget Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's the one that spoke light into existence. But even in that moment, it's as if creation turned the lights out on him and he hung in darkness. We remembered, wait a minute, he was broken for me. He thirsted. He was abandoned. He was in darkness. He was mocked. The mockery and the insults that were hurled upon him. He was tortured. He was broken. He died. He died. He who created life and sustained life partook of death that we might be rescued from the death of sin. We look to the past. But you don't get to look at just your past failures. You get to look at the past work of Jesus and that he was broken to forgive you and change you from your past failures and your brokenness. We gather here this evening and think about it for a minute. We look at the cracker and it represents so much more. It puts our attention on what Jesus has done for us. It helps kind of dry up our selfishness when we are overwhelmed by his selflessness and the giving of himself. But it's also something for the present. You see in verse 26, for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We in this meal, we look back to the past. Christ died for my sins upon the cross. He was broken for me. He suffered in my place. He took my punishment. He took my sins upon him. But we also partake of it here and now. It says, for as often, it's like, how often do we do this? How often do we partake in the Lord's Supper? And really there's some freedom in it. In the early days of the church, it was like an everyday thing. And then it became a week thing. And you know, here at the church at Calvary, we do our best the first Sunday of every month. We partake in communion as a family. Every third Wednesday of the month, we partake of communion as a family. It's something we want to do often. We want to gather together in the present and remember what Christ has done. There's something about tonight that this meal, the present partaking of this meal, we are doing something here and now as we partake of it. We are partaking of a meal that reminds us that, guess what? You're a part of something new, a new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 and in even in Galatians chapter 3 that there's this shift. There's a new covenant that has come that as we partake in this meal, we know that we are no longer under the burden of the law that says, hey, you better get your life together. You do right and I'll be your God. Rather, in the work of Christ, there's this shift in where God says, no, I will forgive your sins. I will be your God. You will be my people. He bears the responsibility. In the present, as we partake of this, there's something wonderful that we are all free in Christ from Galatians chapter 3. You can be in here, and if you partake of this meal tonight, it is something in the present to remind you that you are forgiven of your sins. You are not enslaved to it. You are a child of God. You have a relationship and a walk with him here and now. It's not just, boy, when I die, I'm going to heaven, but it's no, I walk with Jesus today. This meal reminds us in the present. is present, doing it often and participating and partaking of it. I want to give you kind of two things that we have to consider. Like, what's the present effect this has on my life? I think one, it rekindles a work of Jesus in my heart. Do this often. It's that moment that, come on, let's be honest, we can get really busy and caught up in the things of this world and stress about what's going on and stress about work and changes or a tax appointment or a bill that's due and just life. But when we do this often, we take a minute and we stop and we go, no, remember what he did for me. We were brought to the cross in this moment and has this ability to rekindle a fire. If you've been in a valley or you've been in a drought, it's that reminder to go, wait a minute. No, he hasn't abandoned me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. The truth of his word, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, is true here at this reminder. We presently have this moment to come before the Lord, to go to the cross and to have those coals of our heart rekindled, to have fuel put on it by God's Spirit and refocus upon Jesus and leave tonight knowing that we have given an evening to remember what God has done for us. We have given an evening to worship and to celebrate Christ has saved me. But there's something else it does in the present. It really causes an examination. The second thing that we come to here is there's unworthy participation. It kind of lets us know this is a meal in the present that really kind of asks the question. It draws a line in the sand and says, hey, am I right with the Lord? Am I right with the Lord? And it comes in a few ways. If I'm right with the Lord, I will be right with God's people. Right? It really is in the text. It's this idea, am I participating in this in an unworthy manner? Am I right with God? And am I right with God's people? If I'm right with God's people, I'll be right with God. And if I'm right with God, I should be right with God's people. It's found throughout the text. You see that in the section of scripture that we read, that when the church in Corinth gathered together and partook in the Lord's Supper, they absolutely botched it. They partook of it in an unworthy manner. And the text gives us several examples or several ways of what it is to partake in this present meal in an unworthy manner. So think about it for a minute. You look at the verse, you see that in verse 19, if there's divisions, that's an unworthy participation. To partake in this present meal, the communion table, remember what Jesus has done. We've got to examine ourselves. Am I in division with my fellow brothers and sisters? Verse 21, you see a selfishness that is present. Am I here? Am I a part of Calvary Chapel, the High Desert, and letting selfishness overwhelm me? I have my list of all the things I don't like or all the tests that I'm waiting for everybody to jump through. Is there a selfishness in your heart, a selfishness present in your life? In verse 22, you see this despised and shamed. And in verse 34, you see complete carelessness. In other words, this unworthiness, there's this participation in the Lord's Supper that entails an anticipation of the Lord's judgment. This is a meal in which we drink of it, and it's as if we are really bringing potentially judgment upon ourselves. Paul will even say that some of them partook of this meal in an unworthy manner, and they're gone. They were buried. They died because they brought a judgment upon themselves. And so think about it, presently tonight, God can use this to rekindle a fire in us, to stoke the flames, to remind us of how good he is and what he's done, but he also brings us some very serious questions. Am I right with him? Am I right with his people? We do this often because we need this, because guess what? We're prone to wander. We all have spiritual ADHD or ADD, whatever it is. We all have that ability, right? Where I'm walking with you, Lord, this is good. And we're going to go out all hyped out on Jesus. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be on our cell phone and be distracted. It happens. And so we have this moment of like, okay, am I right? Have I wandered? And if so, return. This is a great present meal that lets us know that, hey, never be but a day's journey away from the cross. Because then you can come back to it. It brings you back daily to come to the cross. It says in verse 31, in this unworthy manner, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You know, think of it. Am I stirring up and living with division? Am I being selfish? Am I despised and shamed? Am I being careless? Am I caring for my fellow brothers and sisters? Am I right with the Lord? You really have to examine yourself. It's something radical, because as you examine yourself and you examine the work of Jesus, you have the solution for your malady. There is forgiveness as you examine and see that you may not be right. As you discover sin, as you look at the bread and you look at the cup, it's a reminder, wait a minute, I can be forgiven of it. If you look at the divisions, you can say, wait a minute, God has done this in giving his son to unite me that I might not be divided from him. Oh, I can have the strength to go and to restore a division. This examination, this unworthy participation, this whole understanding in this present moment as we partake of the meal, it was even present when Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper. Remember in that last meal he had with his disciples, he had them all together. You know, maybe you're like, oh, I've seen that one painting. Yeah, they're all at that table and it was like, you know, real cool or whatever. There was even this examination and this judgment that took place there. As Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, remember Jesus made it clear that one among you will betray me. And what did the disciples ask each other? Lord, is it I? They had this moment of self-examining, like, am I the one? We come here to go, okay, Lord, am I betraying? Am I wandering? Am I not right? But we're also reminded, hey, I can be made right. I can be forgiven. I can be changed. God has provided a way in his work of his son to cleanse me. So we have the past. He was broken for you and me. We have the present, this meal that we've got to examine ourselves and go, okay, hey, am I right with the Lord? Am I right with God's people? We have that reminder of, man, I'm reminded of what Jesus has done, and may it rekindle my relationship and my love for him. May it deepen it. But we also have this wonderful future in this meal in verse 26. We have this wonderful future. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Oh, remembrance of him, doing it often, but until he comes. We are celebrating and looking forward to. This is a meal we look back, we look now, and we look future to know that, guess what? Our Jesus will one day return for you and me. That this cup, that this cracker represents so much more than just an unleavened piece of bread or some grape juice, but it represents all of what God has done for us in his son Jesus. And it is like a Costco sample of the meal that we are to have together one day with him for all of eternity. It's this reminder of what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and 1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, in the way you know. But then the Bible also says in Luke chapter 22 and verses 28 through 30, but you are those who have continued with me in my trial. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus even said, I will not partake of this meal again until what? Until the kingdom. Revelations lets us know we have what? The marriage supper of the Lamb. This gives us a glimpse into the future of, guess what? If I am right with the Lord because of what Jesus has done, I have a bright and wonderful future in which I feast with God. The meal of all meals that we are satisfied of our, and all of our shame and all of our struggles and our insecurities are washed out. No darkness, but we're in his light. A future in which John writes in Revelation, there's no need for the sun because his glory illuminates it all. That future, we're with him, of no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. You will overcome. You can overcome. And the future is so bright and so true and so wonderful to God's glory. And guess what? This present meal reminds us of it because of his past work. And so let's prepare our hearts to partake of this meal as a family. let's partake and take a moment to examine ourselves. Let's take a moment and really be honest before the Lord and seek forgiveness. Maybe even tonight, you know there's a division or you've been selfish to a brother or sister in the church, and it may be a moment where you go and see them. It may be a time where you go, you know what, I'm not right, and so I wouldn't partake of the meal, because remember, you can pass judgment upon yourself. If you come in and you're going, okay, wait a minute, I'm understanding something, that this cracker isn't just some religious thing, but it represents, it's a reminder that Jesus died for me on the cross, his body was broken, his blood was shed, and that Jesus' sacrifice can forgive me of my sins and change me and remove my guilt and my shame and give me new life in Christ if I would believe in him. You can put your faith in Christ and then partake of the meal. You can get right with the Lord tonight. And so let's bow our heads and let's begin to do that. And I'll give you a moment before I pray to just be silent and seek the Lord. Father, thank you for reminders, for present participation, and a great future anticipation that we have tonight as we partake in communion. Lord, thank you that we can hold this cracker that represents your body that was broken for us, that we can hold this cup that is a reminder of your son's blood that was shed for us and the precious promises that it sealed and made possible. Lord, thank you that we can come and look at the cross and see what you did in sending your son to die for us. And it's a sobering reminder that, God, there is no extent in which we cannot go to live selflessly and to be united as a body of Christ. And Father, I also thank you for the declaration that goes out of the good news message that your son Jesus was broken to wash and cleanse us and to heal us from our brokenness and our sin, that his blood was shed to wash away and to wipe away our wrong and our guilt and to make us new. The Lord, there is a wonderful, precious agreement or promises that you will forgive anyone that believes in Christ, confessing their sin and turning from it. I ask, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anybody in here tonight, you're not right with the Lord and you want forgiveness. You understand that you are broken, but you realize tonight that God's son, Jesus, was broken to make you whole, to forgive you of your sins. And you want to put your faith and your trust in Christ. Would you raise your hand? Anybody in here? God bless you. God bless you in the back. God bless you in the middle. Anybody else? God bless you in the side. God bless you in the front. For those of you that raised your hand, I want you to take a moment and pray with me. And as you pray with me, you're declaring with your mouth what you believe in your heart and what you know is true. So this prayer of faith, you cry out to the Lord and pray, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, your son, to die on the cross for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've wronged you. But I know that if I confess my sin, you forgive. And so wash me and cleanse me. I trust in Jesus from this day forward. I turn from living my selfish ways and I surrender to you. My life is yours. Your life is living in me and through me. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for those that responded to the message. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and our minds now. May we worship you. May you rekindle a fire within us. In Jesus' name, amen.